It is a pleasure to be with you tonight. We're so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be with you during this missions revival, be able to share what God has been doing in our lives. We've had the privilege of being able to serve the Lord in Bolivia for almost 15 years now, and God has been so good to us during that time. And we're now back on, this is our third furlough, third time back here visiting the States in between our terms there. And we've enjoyed our time here in the States, but there's always this weird phenomenon that kind of takes place. I don't know if it's the difference in the humidity or whatever, but it's like the longer we're here in the States, the more our clothes shrink. And I haven't figured it out exactly yet, but it might have to do with some of those good meals like we had today. Probably not helping a whole lot, but we do enjoy it, and we're so privileged that the Lord has blessed us during this time. Of course, our children, they grew up there on the mission field, and their first language is Spanish, basically. And a matter of fact, when they were younger, we'd come back to the States, they would struggle a little bit with English, not knowing all the words or how to say certain things. And so it's been pretty easy for them. Me and my wife, we had to go do language school. We had to learn the language. And that's always exciting when you learn a new language. It's always a humbling experience, right? When I was in Bible college, I went to the Spanish church to learn as much language as possible because I knew that I wanted to work with Spanish-speaking people. And I had a friend there that learned Spanish the way I learned a lot of my Spanish by just spending time with the people. And he was visiting one of the families one time, didn't know a whole lot of Spanish at that time. And he wanted to tell them about a situation that he had been in that was very embarrassing. And one of the things about Spanish is they say that it's very similar to English. It makes it a little bit easier to learn in that sense. Now, that doesn't mean you just add an O to the end of every word and that makes it Spanish, but there are a lot of similarities. And so he was trying to tell them about a situation that was embarrassing. He was embarrassed, but he didn't know the word in Spanish for being embarrassed. And he thought, and he had heard a word, embarazada, embarrassed, embarazada. He's like, that's got to be it. It's almost exactly the same. So he told him that he was very, very embarazada. And he said they began to snicker and laugh a little bit. And he's like, okay, well, what did I say that was wrong? And they said, well, embarazada doesn't mean that you're embarrassed. It means that you're pregnant. And so he told them that he was very, very pregnant. And after that, he was very embarrassed. I can tell you that much for sure. But we've had a lot of those experiences. Maybe during our testimony time, we can tell you a couple of more of those, about some more of those. But God's just given us the privilege to serve him. We're so thankful for it. And tonight, if you'll open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to just be an encouragement to you tonight, and the title of the message tonight is No Fainting Allowed. No Fainting Allowed. Now, when we think about someone that faints, why would someone faint? It's usually because maybe they're carrying something that is more than they can carry. It's heavier than they can carry, or they're carrying a load that is so heavy that they can't take it anymore, and they just pass out. They just faint. Now, of course, what we're talking about tonight isn't as much of a physical fainting as it is spiritually fainting in our lives. Spiritually fainting as a church and in our personal walk with the Lord, in our personal lives, if fainting or falling by the wayside, quitting, giving up, or even becoming complacent. Now, I would just like to say that, you know, we've only been here a couple of days, but I praise the Lord for churches that love missions. And you know, as a missionary, when you go to a church, you can tell the churches that really love missions. And there's no doubt in my mind that the church here and that you as a church love missions. You love missionaries. You put lots of emphasis on that. And that's really encouraging to us as missionaries to see that, because it's not always that way. But I want to encourage you tonight to don't give up. Amen. To don't quit. Amen. Don't even become complacent with where you're at. Because in the times we're living today, it'd be very easy to say what? Well, you know, things are a little difficult right now. We better just kind of hunker down and just kind of take it easy and just kind of wait out the storm and see how things go. But the importance is to realize we cannot faint. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and begins this chapter, Paul, in verse 1. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, what does he say? We faint not. And then if you go all the way over almost to the very end of the chapter in verse 16, he says once again, for which cause we faint not. So twice, the beginning of this chapter, the end of this chapter, he says, we cannot faint. We can't give up. Now that's very important, especially when we see it in the context of what he's speaking of here. If we go back to verse 1, we see it there. He says, therefore, seeing we have what? This ministry. Now, just one chapter over in chapter 5, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Each of us that have been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ now has the ministry, has been given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of Christ. It is our responsibility to go out into the world and reconcile those who are away from God, who don't know Him, to reconcile them to God through Jesus Christ, just as the message we just heard. It's our responsibility to do that. And so, not only that, then in verse 7, where we're going to start today, or tonight, he says, but we have this treasure. This treasure. And what is the treasure that he's speaking of there? He's speaking of the gospel. He's talking about the gospel, and to each of us have been entrusted the treasure of the gospel. Now, in that context, we have been given a ministry, a responsibility. We have been entrusted a treasure that is so valuable, that is so precious, that is so important. And seeing that and thinking about that which he has entrusted us and given to us, Paul says, we faint not. We must not faint. We must not quit. We must not give up or give in. And so when we think about that, the encouragement, the important thing there is to realize we must continue on. We must continue taking the gospel around the world to those who have never heard. Well, then the question might come, so how can we accomplish that? How can we continue without fainting in our lives? And I think between these two verses that he tells us that we can't faint, he gives us several principles, I think, that can help us to continue on taking the gospel to the world without fainting, without giving up, without giving in our lives. Several principles. Number one, the first thing we see here, the importance of humility. If you look at verse 7 there, once again, he starts out by saying, we have this treasure, but he said this treasure is in what? Earthen vessels. Now, when you think about a treasure, normally a treasure, at least I would think about it, which should be transported in something that shows what it is, shows its value. Usually a treasure chest, right? And a treasure chest, it might be trimmed in gold, something beautiful, might have beautiful tapestries and colors in it. Why? Because it's representing the value that is inside of it. But he says this treasure, of course we know we're speaking of the gospel, is carried about in what? Simple earthen vessels. Now, when we think about that, you know, if I were to have a porcelain vase, now I've never had a porcelain vase, I don't think I've ever been around a porcelain vase, but if I had a porcelain vase or something that was made out of crystal or fine china that was very old, and I were to drop that and break it, I would think, man, that is terrible, because why? I broke something that was so valuable. But if I had a flower pot, and I dropped the flower pot, I probably wouldn't get too terribly upset, unless I dropped it on my foot. I might get upset about it then, but I wouldn't get too upset about it. Why? Because it's just a simple clay flower pot. It's not that important. It's not that much of that much value. So what Paul is teaching us here is the importance to realize that in this equation, the important part of it is not the messenger, but it's the message. The message of the gospel. That it's not the messenger that is important, because sometimes we can kind of get the idea that we're the important ones in this equation. What would God do without me, right? How could God? God wouldn't be able to do anything if it wasn't for me. And a lot of times we can kind of get puffed up in our lives. We get a little bit proud. And so then when things happen to us, how do we react? We just get all upset. We get torn up about that. Because when we're puffed up in pride, which happens to all of us, and we face all of that, all of us face that, then we can very easily get sidetracked, because when something does happen, then we realize that then we get upset about that. We say, well, why? That's not fair. I can't believe that happened. Why would that happen to me? I'm just not going to do anything else. I'm just not going to go on. I'm just going to quit. And we fall by the wayside and we faint. And we can see here in this verse why it's so important. In verse 7, he says, this treasure is in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, all the power and the glory belongs to Him. And if we try to take that power, and we try to take that glory, we try to take it on us, we're going to fall flat on our faces every single time. So Paul's teaching us the importance here. If we're going to continue without fainting, the first thing we have to realize is we're nothing more than clay in the hands of the potter. And that way, when something comes our way, a difficulty, a trial, something that's hard for us to face, that would want us, a burden that's over us, that would make us want to faint, we can just simply say, I know I'm nothing more than clay in the hands of the master, clay in the hands of the potter, and I can trust him for what he's doing in my life. Amen? The first thing, humility. The second thing we see here, not only is humility, but our attitude. Our attitude. Verses 8 and 9, he gives us a comparison. Four different times he compares something. He says, we're this, but we're not this. So in verse 8, he starts out by saying, we are troubled on every side. Now, troubled on every side, there has the idea of being under pressure. You know, Paul was under a lot of pressure. He was being oppressed many times in his life and in his ministry. You know, and a lot of times, especially nowadays, we can feel, you ever feel like you're under a lot of pressure? You ever feel like there's just a lot on you? You're just like, I don't know if I can continue on. I'm under a lot of pressure. He says, you know what? We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And the distress there has the idea of being smashed. He said, we're under a lot of pressure, but we haven't been smashed. Then he says, we are perplexed. The idea there is we don't have all the answers. Especially nowadays, you ever just feel like, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. We just don't have the answers. A lot of times we can feel like that in our lives, and that can provoke fear in us. That can both provoke tremendous fear and uncertainty and anxiety. Why? Because we just don't know. Paul said, you know, there's a lot of times we're perplexed. We don't have the answers. But he said, we're not in despair. In other words, we're not throwing in the towel. We're not giving up. Then in verse 9, he says again, we're persecuted. Of course, that has the idea of being hunted or stalked. And a lot of times we can just feel like, it seems like the whole world is against us, doesn't it? Especially when we decide we want to do something for God. If you make a decision for God, in our camps there in Bolivia, we have youth camps every year, and usually when I talk to those who have made decisions for the Lord, I always tell them, if you made a decision for the Lord, I just want to let you know, just be prepared, because Satan's coming. And he's going to do everything he can to take your feet out from under you from the very beginning, because he knows if he can do that, you'll stop right there. But if you continue on, there's nothing he can do to stop you. And so there's a lot of times we can feel like the whole world is against us. He said, we're persecuted, but he said, we're not forsaken. We haven't been abandoned. We're not alone in this fight. And then the last thing he says there, we're cast down. That has the idea of like a boxing match, and someone gets hit and they get knocked down. Have you ever just felt like in life you're just getting knocked down? Just getting knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. He says, you know what? We've been cast down. He said, but we're not destroyed. In other words, we haven't been knocked out. Now, when you think about this, that's just a quick version of it, obviously. But when you think about that, we see two perspectives here. He says, we're this, but we're not this. We're this, we're not this. We're this, we're not this. We're this, but we're not this. And so I really think the difference that we see in this is that the difference is between what when we face things on our own, one is with God and one is without God. Paul says, we have faced these things, but we haven't gotten to this extreme. It was his attitude about what he was facing. Because why? He realized that whatever he faced, it could always be a lot worse. Right? It could always be a lot worse. And we see other people that have it a lot worse than what we have it. And we can always be thankful, even in the hard times and the difficult times, we can be thankful. Why? Because we have the Lord on our side. We have the Lord with us. We're not alone in this, and we're not facing this, and it's not in our strength, but it's in His strength, and through Him, we can accomplish the things that He has given us to do. If you try to do it on your own, like I said before, we'll fall flat on our face. We'll get tired, we'll get weary, and we'll fall by the wayside, and we'll faint. But if we do it with the Lord and we trust in Him, we can continue on faithfully taking the gospel, the treasure of the gospel, to those who have never heard. Then the third principle that we see here is the principle of sacrifice. Verses 10 and 11, he basically says the same thing twice. He repeats it. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And then he says it again, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So what is he saying here? He's basically telling us, he's talking about following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when he came to this earth, he came with one purpose. He came to suffer, to sacrifice himself, and to die for us. And so what Paul is saying there is, you know what? Every single day we're bearing about in our bodies, we're taking with us, we're living a life of death, a sacrifice, willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to be able to do what God has called us to do. You know, in another passage he said, I'm willing to spend and be spent for the sake of the gospel. He said he was willing to give up everything, and he was willing to pay whatever, even the price of his life if necessary, to be able to take the gospel to those that he loves. And that's what he's telling us here. He says, you know what? We're willing to bear about in our bodies. We're willing to face death every day, to sacrifice whatever it takes so that we can accomplish what God is called us to accomplish. And the interesting thing about that is, in both of these verses, the second part of it, he turns it around and says, we're willing to face this. We're willing to sacrifice. Why? That the life of Jesus might be manifest in our body. That the life of Jesus might be manifest. In other words, we know that Jesus Christ came, he suffered, and he died, but that's not where the story ends. Amen? He didn't just die. He arose from the dead. And we know that his resurrection speaks to us of his power, of his victory. And what he's saying here is that if we're willing to sacrifice, and a lot of times in America today, that's almost a dirty word, right? We don't like to mention it. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it a lot of times. But he said, if we're willing to sacrifice, the result of that is we can also see the result of the resurrection in our life, the power of God, the victory of God in our life, the strength that we need to be able to continue on. So Paul said, we're willing to do that. Why? Because the results are we can see the power of God in our lives, the strength of God. But then not only the results for him, look in verse 12, you can see the results for those who he was ministering to. He says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. You see, the fact that he was willing to face death and sacrifice whatever it took, the result of it was they were able to experience true life. And of course, that is the life that comes through the gospel. The life that comes when someone passes from death unto life. And you know, when we think about that, I can tell you, just we'll show in our video when we do our presentation, but there's a young girl that came to our third church that we started, and another lady invited her, and she started coming, and she got saved, I think, the first week she came, and she began attending faithfully, and my daughter began to disciple her, and a couple of months later, she gave a testimony, and she told in her testimony how that she grew up in a rough situation, and long story short, we'll tell a bit of it during our presentation, but she basically, her mother kicked her out, told her, I can't handle you and your younger brother anymore, you're going to have to find somewhere else to live, and they kicked them out on the street. And it was that very time that this other lady in our church that knew them heard about it, and she went and got them, and she brought them. She started helping them, and she took them to church. And that's when she got saved. And she told how that if she hadn't come to church, if she hadn't been invited and come to church and hadn't gotten saved, that she had made up her mind the very next week she was going to commit suicide. She had made up her mind that her life wasn't worth living. Her mother didn't love her. Her father didn't have anything to do with her. She was a young teenage girl with an even younger brother, and they were on their own trying to make life out of whatever they could. And she had already made up her mind that she was going to end her life. And she told in her testimony how that if she hadn't gotten saved, that that's what she would have done the very next week. You know, and I think about that, and there's no praise to us and what we've done, but if you were to ask someone like her, when I think about someone like her, her name is Jessenia, when I think about her, you know, I think any quote-unquote sacrifice that we've had to make to go to the mission field is nothing. Is nothing when I think about the results of someone like her that's able to hear the gospel and be saved. And instead of spending an eternity in hell, this very moment, she now is on her way to heaven to spend an eternity with him. And so I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to see many people like her come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the last thing we see here is hope. The last thing we see is hope. In verse 14, he says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. One of the reasons that Paul could continue faithfully is because he had a hope. And his hope wasn't in this world. His hope wasn't in what he did as a missionary, as a preacher of the gospel. His hope was in what awaited him one day in heaven. And we had to realize that things can get tough here on earth and things can get difficult here, and there's a lot of burdens that we have to face and we have to carry, but we know that life is short and it won't be long, just a little bit longer, and we're all going to be with him. And one day when we're up there with him, and like this verse says, not only us, but all those that God's been able to use through us to be able to reach them with the gospel, to take this treasure of the gospel, all of us together for all of eternity are going to be able to worship and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. You know, and in that moment, I know we're going to realize that it's all been worth it. And we're going to be so thankful that we didn't quit, that we didn't give up, that we didn't give in, that we didn't decide that we were going to just stop, but we were willing to continue on faithfully. And then at the end of it, we can see exactly what it's all about. Verse 15, he says, for all these things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many, what was the result of that? The glory of God. And you see, that's what it's all about. It's all about the glory of God. It's all about his glory. And we can, and there's so many people out there today that still can't fulfill their purpose in life. Because we know that the purpose of every one of us, the main purpose above everything else is what? To glorify God. above everything else. But there are many people out there that can't do that. That's why they were created, yet they can't do it. Why? Because they don't know Him. So therefore, it is our responsibility to go out and help them to understand how they can know God and be reconciled to Him so that they can glorify God. And one day when we're all together, all of us with one voice will just praise Him for all of eternity. You know, my life's verse that I chose many years ago is Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you know, I can be honest. I faced very little suffering in my life. Very little suffering, very little, you know, pain and tragedy and things in my life. But I know that anything that I face, I can think about that verse. And it doesn't matter what it is, when I face it, I can always remember that any of the sufferings that I face in this life are not even worthy to be compared with what He has waiting for us one day. What He has awaiting for us, and not only us, but all those that will be able to go with us, all those that God has used us to be able to take the gospel to so that they can hear the gospel and be saved. And then we get back to verse 16, and he says, therefore, which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, he says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If we'll trust Him and we'll walk with Him, we'll humble ourselves and we're willing to trust that He's with us and we're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes, and we have that hope that we know we'll be with Him one day, we realize that although the outward man is perishing, every day He will renew our strength. He will renew our commitment to Him. He will help us to continue faithfully serving, taking the treasure of the gospel to so many people who still have not received it. Now, I can remember early on in our ministry there in Bolivia, we have you'll see in our video, a statue of Jesus. It's very similar to the statue in Brazil, the white statue of Jesus with the arms outstretched like this. We have a statue that overlooks the entire city of Cochabamba. And we were up there one time with a group of people that were visiting us, and they were looking out over the city and taking pictures. And I was standing there, I'd been up there many times already, so I was kind of standing over to the side, and I noticed an older lady and what looked like her granddaughter walked up to the statue. And as she walked up to the statue, the lady, she crossed herself and she began to pray. And I was just kind of watching them, just curious. And the little girl was standing there and she was just kind of looking around. And she was looking up at this 130-foot tall statue of Jesus that overlooked the city. And how she was just standing there, and she finally noticed that there was a large cast iron Bible that's open at the feet of the statue. And she tugged on her grandmother's shirt and she said, "But grandmother, what does that say?" And her grandmother looked down for the first time and she said, "Jesús les dijo, yo soy el camino, la verdad y la vida. Nadie viene al Padre sino por mí. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. And the little girl stood there for just a couple of minutes and she tugged on her grandmother's shirt again and she said, "But grandmother, what does that mean?" And I thought, I got to hear the answer to this. I want to hear how she's going to explain that and what she's going to say to her. And I kind of stepped a little bit closer so that I could hear it. And they stood there for several minutes in complete silence. And her grandmother reached out and grabbed her granddaughter's hand and they turned and walked away. She gave her no answer. Why? Because she had no idea how to explain what that verse meant. She had no idea how to explain that to her granddaughter that was wanting to know. And as they walked out and they walked down the stairs and I looked out over a city of 1.5 million people, the only thing I could think about is how many thousands upon thousands of young girls just like that are asking that very same question every day. How can I know God? How can I know I'm going to heaven one day? How can my life have purpose? And the answer is always the same. Complete silence. Because they have no idea of how to explain how someone can know God personally, how they can go to heaven one day and have that assurance in their life, and their life can have purpose. The answer is always complete silence. And when I think about that, not only in Cochabamba, in Bolivia, around the world, how many other cities where there are people who are asking that very same question and no one can give them an answer, I can just say, church, we can't faint. We can't quit. We can't give up. We can't give in. We can't even be satisfied with where we are. Why? Because there's still so much more to be done. There's still so many that have not received the treasure of the gospel and they urgently need to receive it. I want to encourage you tonight to continue without fainting. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we've given, that you've given us to be able to serve you. We thank you, Lord, for the treasure, the responsibility that you've given us. And I pray that you would help each and every one of us to continue faithfully taking that gospel, taking this treasure to a poor country, a poor people that still need to hear you. I pray that you would help us, encourage us, strengthen us, that we might continue faithfully. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.